All right. So hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Living in the Light podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about Mormonism and the Church of Latter-day Saints, what they believe, and how it stacks up against the Bible and true biblical Christianity. So let's dive right in. I wanted to start off, however, by saying, like we did with when you talked about Roman Catholicism, is that we mean no disrespect to any Mormons. I said it right this time. And we're not talking about, like, we're not going to say bad things, because we obviously don't have any problems with actual Mormons. There are obviously people that believe things that we believe are wrong, and we don't necessarily, it's partially their fault, but there are a lot of people probably that are in the Mormon church that don't know the truth. And so this episode isn't meant to be, like, bash Mormons or anything, but as a way, it's meant to show them the truth and what God actually says. Mormonism is, however, hate to say it, it's a really weird religion. It was founded in 1830 with the publication of the Book of Mormon by a man named Joseph Smith, and since then their doctrines have changed a lot since the times of Joseph Smith and their founder. There are three key foundational things I want to mention first before we dive into what some of their beliefs. The first is that they have four religious texts: the King James Bible, the Book of Mormon, the Pearl of Great Price, and the Book of Doctrines and Covenants. I don't know about Riley. I'll be citing those a couple times at least and talking what they say. They believe that Joseph Smith was the chief prophet and that God used him to spread forgotten or lost truths that were pretty much unknown before him. And for the most part, they believe that what Joseph Smith says from God is from God. Joseph Smith at one point said that when the Lord speaks through me, it is no more Joseph Smith who speaks, but it is God. And that's what most Mormons do believe that. And then third, when we talk about Mormonism and what Mormonism teaches and the doctrines that Mormonism holds and Latter-day Saints, however, not every Mormon and Latter-day Saint believes everything the Mormon church teaches, obviously, because some of them don't even know they teach these things. And so just wanted to get those out of the way real quick. The first thing we're going to talk about that Mormons believe and how it stacks up against the Bible and true biblical Christianity is Mormonism's teachings about God. And Riley, I will let you lead us off on that one.
Before we dive into that, I just want to mention, because he didn't quite cover, he glossed over it, but Mormonism was started by Joseph Smith, but the Church of Latter-day Saints was started by two of his close friends, William Law and Robert Foster. If you want to learn the history, you'll find it on a Wikipedia article. But basically, there was something that happened between the two of them, so the two left. And so they are sort of the same religion, but they do have their differences, like every other religion. And so we are sort of covering both of them here, because most of them have the same thing. But there will be things that when we talk about them, it will be more one than the other and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So so we go into discussion of what they believe about God. And one of the things they believe about God is that man can become God. You can literally just become God if you live good enough. They say, as man is now, God once was, and as God is now, man will be. Mormonism complains that the existence of many gods, and it does not advocate for their worship besides Earth's one. Don't know how that makes sense, but it's Mormonism.
All right, so I had a couple things. I took a pretty deep dive into Mormonism's teachings on God and some of what they believe. And I had, we'll say 5 points here, I think. Yeah, 5 points, different things they teach about God that are not biblical. The first one is they teach that God is not eternal. Joseph Smith, the founder and chief prophet of Mormonism, in what is known as the King's Follett, King Follett? F-O-L-L-E-T. I have no idea how to pronounce it. Just, if I'm wrong, just leave a comment or something. I don't know. But in this discourse, he said, God himself was once as we are now, and is an exalted man, and sits enthroned in yonder heavens. I'm going to tell you how God came to be God. We have imagined and supposed that God was God from all eternity. I will refute this idea, and take away the veil so that you may see. It is the first principle of the gospel to know for a certainty the character of God, and to know that we may converse with him as one man converses with another, and that he was once a man like us, yea, that God himself, the Father of us all, dwelt on an earth the same as Jesus Christ himself did. This bizarre doctrine, it can be a little difficult to understand. Still going? All right. So it's very strange and kind of hard to understand sometimes. So basically what Mormonism teaches is that there is an infinite number of planets, an infinite number of universes, and an infinite number of gods and goddesses. And basically what they teach is that in every galaxy and for every earth, there is a god, and that god has his goddess wives. And that these goddess wives and the god will populate that earth. And so what they believe was that near a star named Kolob, there was a god and his goddess wife, and they had a spirit baby named Elohim. And Elohim eventually grew up to a spirit person, I guess, and then was born to human parents on another Earth. When he grew up as a human, he, through eternal progression, which we'll probably talk about later, I believe, right? Through eternal progression, he became and ascended to godhood with his wives, and then he populated the Earth, formed and populated the Earth we live on now. So that's where Mormonism teaches God came from. However, it is not biblical at all. God never was a man. The Bible is clear about that. And God is eternal. The Bible constantly talks about God's eternality.
Well, the fact that they also believe in the Bible, too.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
And there's nothing in the Bible that says that.
Yeah, either. There's a lot of people, Bible says against it. Psalm 90, verse 2 says, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." God was God from everlasting to everlasting. There's no room for him to ever have been a man in that. 1 Timothy 1:17 says, "Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." God is eternal. That means he was never a man. Revelation 10:6, "And swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer." God has lived forever and ever. There was never a time when God didn't exist. There was never a time when God was born. That's not biblical. That's wrong. The Bible is clear that God is eternal. So another thing that they teach about God that is not correct is they teach that God was not the creator of the universe. Now this is one thing you have to pay close attention to what they say, because Mormons will teach that God created the universe, but their definition of create is different than a biblical definition of created. What Mormonism teaches is that there were these primordial, immortal intelligences that God took and he formed into human spirits. And then he took pre-existing matter and pre-existing particles that were already there, and he formed those into Earth. So God didn't create Earth, he simply formed it. And God didn't create humans, he simply took pre-existing intelligences and he made them into human spirits. And this is what they teach. So for all eternity, they also teach that for all eternity, there's been gods and goddesses and humans and planets, that there was no period where something was created. It just always has been. God didn't create anything. And this is also clearly anti-biblical and unbiblical. The Bible talks about creation constantly. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." It doesn't say that God arranged the earth out of pre-existent matter. John 1:3 says, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Everything in existence was created by God. There's nothing that he didn't create. The Bible says that. Colossians 1:16, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." Mormonism's teaching, and Joseph Smith's teaching, that God did not create the world or humanity is wrong and heretical. The Bible is clear on creation, that nothing was created without God. I had just a couple more things on their teachings about God. Do you have anything you want to say on that with creation?
No?
Okay. This is another one that's kind of hard. They technically teach that God is not omniscient. This one's really confusing because, it comes down to your definition of the word omniscient. The word omni is all. The word scient, which means knowledge. God has all knowledge. That's what omniscient means. And while Mormonism does claim to believe that, there's some that don't. It's confusing. So basically in Mormonism, I'll try to make this make sense because it took me a long time to understand it. There's sort of two schools of thought. They both claim to believe in omniscience, but they have different definitions. The prevailing tradition of Mormonism does not believe in omniscience, and I believe they're represented best, their stance, by a man named Wilford Woodruff. He was a prominent Mormon authority, and he said, "God himself is increasing and progressing in knowledge, power, and dominion, and will do so world without end. If God is currently progressing in his knowledge, then he cannot be omniscient." And that is what many Mormons, and that's the prevailing tradition in Mormonism, they teach that God is still progressing in knowledge. So is it biblical that God is not omniscient? Clearly no. 1 John 3:20 says, "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." God knows everything. Psalm 147:5, "For if our heart condemn us," that's the same verse, it's fine. Isaiah 40:28, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding." God knows everything. Mormonism teaches that he doesn't, but it's not true. The Bible is clear on many other places than just these that God does know everything. He is omniscient, and he's not progressing in knowledge. There are two other things on the stance on God. Obviously, many people who've been in church for any amount of time know that there are three. There's omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. And surprisingly enough, Mormonism actually denies all three. They believe God's not omnipotent. Oh, sorry, omnipresent. According to official Mormon doctrine, God is not omnipresent. This was also directly taught, not just by the Mormon church itself, it was also taught directly by Mormonism's founder, Joseph Smith. He said, "The Father has a body of flesh and bone as tangible as man's." And in a much longer quote, he goes into talking about how God dwells in a physical place in the universe. If God is a physical being with a physical body who dwells in a definite physical point of space, then God is not omnipresent. That's obviously. You can't be omnipresent but also be confined to one physical body. That physical body can't be everywhere. Joseph Smith taught this. The Mormon Church teaches this. But is it biblical? Jeremiah 23:24 says, "Can any man hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill the heaven and the earth, saith the Lord." Proverbs 15:3, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." And then Psalm 139:7, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence?" These three verses, along with countless others, teach the same thing. God is omnipresent. God does not have one physical body that confines him to one physical place, as Mormonism and Joseph Smith taught. God is omnipresent. And this is just, it's unbelievable how many of these basic doctrines of Christianity and the Bible teaches that Mormonism denies completely. The only other one I had was they deny that God is omnipotent. So basically they teach that there's no God that is omnipotent, I should say that, because every God and their goddess wives only have power within their own sphere and their own galaxy and earth, which is super confusing. Let's see. Joseph Smith wrote at one point, "Man was also in the beginning with God. Intelligence or the light of truth was not created or made, neither indeed can it be." In this quote, you have to think about it for a while and really think over the words, but Joseph Smith was basically saying the reason God did not create humankind and he had to form pre-existent intelligences into human spirits is because God could not create human spirits. That's what Joseph Smith is teaching here, that God was not capable to create intelligence, or the light of truth, as Joseph Smith put it. This is the denial of God's omnipotence, which is a doctrine that, again, is taught all throughout the Bible. Psalm 115:3 says, "But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased." Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." In another place in the Bible, we see that God says he's not a liar. God cannot lie. And God is saying that he does whatever he pleases. His word never returns to him void. In order for that to be true, he has to be omnipotent. Because if God wanted to create a human spirit, obviously he can. According to Mormonism, he can't, meaning God cannot be omnipotent. Jeremiah 32:17 says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out thy arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." And then Genesis 18:14, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" These verses and many others, which teach the same thing, refute the doctrine, the false teaching that God is not omnipotent. And that's all I had on Mormon teaching about God, but it just astonishes me that Joseph Smith and the Mormon religion and the Church of Latter-day Saints, I don't know how they all stack up against those teachings of Mormonism and Joseph Smith. I don't know the exact difference between the two in that area, but it just astonishes me that they can believe things so contrary to the Bible.
So the next topic we are going over is what their beliefs on sin is. It's only going to get weirder from here with their beliefs, because I can say that the last couple topics we have are something.
Polygamy.
For sin, they don't believe in original sin. It's in the Bible, but they don't believe. They believe that you are only accountable of your sins after the age of 8, which I can sort of see, but the Bible says, "For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God." So therefore, all have sinned. No, and you're not. It's not like before age of 8, you're not accounted for your sins. You are accounted for your sins through your entire life. But they believe that you are not accountable for your sins after the age of 8, but before the age of 8.
Yeah, I'm glad I saw those. I didn't necessarily spend a lot of time studying those. I went a different direction. And so I guess we're going to get to cover all of it then.
Yeah.
So I won't focus on something else, something that Joseph Smith said and that Mormonism teaches. They teach that there's these things called abominable sins. And what these abominable sins are is they're sins that there is no forgiveness for these sins. These three sins are denying the Holy Ghost. These are in order of, badness? I don't know. That's
worst,
not the worst is first. Okay. Denying the Holy Ghost, shedding innocent blood, and committing sexual sin. The Book of Alma, which is in the Book of Mormon, chapter 39, verse 6.
Right here.
From Book of Mormon right there. It says, "For behold, if ye deny the Holy Ghost, when it once has had a place in you, and ye know that ye deny it, behold, it is a sin which is unpardonable." And on the subject of shedding innocent blood, Joseph Smith said, "The unpardonable sin is to shed innocent blood or be accessory thereto. All other sins will be visited with judgment in the flesh and the spirit being delivered under the buffetings of Satan until the day of the Lord Jesus." And then Joseph Smith also said later, "If a man commit adultery, he cannot receive the celestial kingdom of God." These are three statements from Mormonism's founder and the book he wrote. They all teach the same thing. If you're to commit one of these three sins, then you cannot receive forgiveness and you cannot make it to what Joseph Smith calls the celestial kingdom of God. I'll mention that a little bit later. That's super confusing also. However, this is wrong. Like, so wrong. The Bible teaches in so many places that God will forgive you for any sin you commit. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Ephesians 1:7 says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of grace." Mark 3:28 says, "Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme." Joseph Smith taught that if you commit one of these three sins, you can't go to heaven. You can't be forgiven. It's too bad. There's no hope for you. But the Bible teaches otherwise. And Jesus Christ himself said that he will forgive anyone of any sin, no matter what, if they earnestly seek repentance from him. Repentance and forgiveness from him. And so that's all I had on sin.
Yeah. So then we go straight into salvation, which... God forgives all. There is nothing. There's no unforgivable sin, yeah. Really. A lot of people say that there is in the Bible, but what they refer to is the denial of Jesus. And of course, if you don't believe in Jesus by the time you die, then you can't be forgiven because you're dead and you're getting judged right then and there. So salvation. I'll let you lead off.
All right, I have a lot, so that's a bad idea.
Well, I got to figure out my notes right here.
That's fine. All right, so like I said, salvation according to Mormonism, it's a little bit confusing. I'm going to talk a little bit in this about their belief in heaven because that does tie in. That took me an hour to understand. Anyways, so Mormonism teaches something called general salvation, which is a very confusing term because it's not – when you think of the word salvation, you mean something different than a Mormon means when they're talking about general salvation. What general salvation is it's a form of salvation whereby Jesus, when he died on the cross, or actually they believe, Mormonism more teaches that the Gethsemane actually brings redemption more than the cross, which that's, I don't even know what to do with that. Anyways, they teach that Jesus' sacrifice paid for general salvation, which means that everyone, sinner, saved, no matter what, whether you're Mormon, a Muslim, a Buddhist, or a Christian, whatever you are, that at the end of time, Mormonism teaches you will be resurrected because of general salvation. Okay, there's that. Then they teach after you're resurrected, you'll have judgment, at which point you'll be assigned to one of the three heavens or outer darkness. That's all something else. Anyways, so basically, they teach that in order to be saved, there are all these things you have to do. They teach work salvation. They'll actually say this, that you're not saved by grace alone. You're saved by grace and works, which we talked about this in the episode on Roman Catholicism. Roman Catholicism has the same heresy. Almost every single false religion you'll find teaches some form of work salvation because it's so prevalent today, and it always has been.
Well, they have the, by obedience of the commandments of Mormonism, if you follow all the rules of Mormonism, a Mormon may attain the highest degree of heaven and ultimately become a god, lowercase g.
Yeah, that's a Mormon's goal is to become god. Because basically, from what I understood, Mormon heaven, there's three heavens. There's 1, 2, and 3. The third heaven is the best. And so basically what they teach is that if you're a really, really good Mormon, you go to third heaven, which is where you can become a god. If you're just a kind of good Mormon, you go to second heaven. You could either like a bad Mormon or you're not a Mormon, but you were deceived by Satan into believing something wrong. You go to second heaven. And if you're like not a Mormon and you willfully rejected Christ, then you go to third heaven. And then if you're like a serial killer who rejected Christ, then you go to outer darkness.
Yeah, I didn't really look into those.
It's really confusing. And then if you go to first or second heaven, I believe you become an angel. Only third heaven, you become a god. That's a different topic. Anyways, so Mormonism teaches work salvation. They have a list of things you have to do in order to be saved. Sorry. The Pearl of Great Price says at one point in it, "We believe that through the atonement of Christ, all mankind may be saved by obedience to the laws and ordinances of the gospel." This statement is blatant. Yep, that's the Pearl of Great Price, too, that he has right there.
Yeah, it's all three of them, Book of Mormon, Doctrine and Covenants, and Pearl of Great Price, all in one.
It's, good, my phone. It's a good book.
Yeah. I plan on reading it, but I didn't have a chance because I was working so much.
I didn't have time to read all of it either. I read some of it. Anyways, some of the works you have to do to be saved in Mormonism include having faith in Christ, repentance, being baptized, receiving the Holy Ghost, keep the covenants, serve others, live righteously, and etc. There's more because there's a lot of covenants and ordinances you have to obey. The Bible is clear, however, we're saved by grace. We're not saved by works. We're not saved by obedience to these laws. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Galatians 2:16 says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." And Romans 3:28 says, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." Just like Roman Catholicism, I'm going to say the same thing here. You're not saved by works. It's just not how it works. The Bible is so clear that whatever, nothing you do can save you. The only thing that can save you is what Christ did and putting your faith in that. If you put your faith in yourself, you're always going to fall short. No human being is, the Bible says that no man is perfect. No one can keep all of everything the Bible says perfectly. The only person who was ever perfect was Jesus Christ. And that's why we have to put our faith in him and not works in order to be saved.
Yeah, you can walk up to almost any Christian or any person whatsoever and they all will almost always have a sin at least once a day, probably multiple times a day. You might have a thought that pops in your head for like a split second or like a thing that you did or said that you didn't intentionally do, but it just came out. Everyone sins daily.
Everyone makes mistakes?
Yeah.
I did want to say one more thing on salvation. I forgot. I missed this in my notes somehow. The reason I had all that stuff about heaven, I wondered why I had all that stuff about Mormon heaven written down, is because in the first and second heaven, Mormonism actually teaches you can enter the first or second heaven without knowing Christ. You could be a hardcore Buddhist. You rejected Christ completely. You knew he was the Savior. You rejected him. You didn't care. You served Buddha your whole life. In Mormonism, you can still get to heaven like that. That's wrong as well, because the Bible teaches in John 14:6, "And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." No one who is outside of Christ will be going to heaven. It's the truth. Christ is the only way. And Mormonism's teaching, A, that works will get you to heaven is wrong, but it's also wrong that they teach that you can get to heaven without Christ.
Okay, so now we move on to the topic of what they believe of Jesus. And both of Mormons and Latter-day Saints both believe that Jesus is the world's Savior and that he will save the world from destruction, sin, and death. They also consider Jesus to be their Redeemer and strive to practice his teachings of goodness, love, service, and every day. Why is that not finished? I have half a sentence there.
Half a thought.
But, I'm done. Basically, and a funny thing that they believe is that when Jesus comes back, we believe that he, because the Bible states this, that he will come back to Mount Armageddon. Is it Mount, or is it like a valley?
I don't remember.
It's something about Armageddon. But we believe, and that's like somewhere in like the Middle East, Israel area. Mormons believe that he's going to come to America. Mormonism is quite literally an American religion.
That's true. The Book of Mormon does take place in America, yeah.
Everything he wrote about it is basically American stuff, but
American dream. All right, so what I had on Jesus was they teach a couple of false things regarding Jesus, too. It's amazing how with Catholicism, I went through some of it, Roman Catholicism, and there were some things that I sort of agreed with them on, and I was like, yeah, okay, we kind of agree on this. With Mormonism, I did not find much of that. I could find pretty much any area of theology they had something wrong on. And in the area of Jesus, there's a couple things I had wrong. Obviously,
I'm getting a drink.
Bye, Riley. All right, I am the only one doing this podcast now. Riley's gone.
I'll be back in a second.
Anyways, what I was saying, short intermission real quick while Riley walks back.
I'm dying.
And we're back. Anyways, they believe that Jesus was born to God, or they call it Elohim, his heavenly father, and a heavenly mother. They had Jesus as a spirit baby. And when Jesus as a spirit baby grew older, after some period of time, God, Elohim, this is the Mormon, this is the Mormon God, which they claim is the same God we believe in, but it's not. And so Elohim said he wanted to have a savior for mankind on earth. And Jesus and his brother Lucifer both said that they wanted to do it. And so they both volunteered. So God had, or Elohim, had them both present their plans for salvation to the Council of the Gods. And the Council of the Gods chose Jesus to be the savior. And Lucifer was so angry that he took one third of the spirit people and he led them in a revolt. And that's when he became Satan. This is Mormon teaching. But I think, and then after this happened, God sent Jesus to earth, and Jesus was born to Mary as a regular human. He was not God. He was just a human, a plain, boring human. And then through the doctrine of eternal progression, he attained godhood. And that's why he could die on the cross for us, was because he had attained godhood, which I think they believe that that happened at his baptism, if I remember correctly. I don't remember for sure, though. So let's look at this. There's a lot there. There's only two things I want to talk about. So basically, they deny Christ's deity, and they deny Christ's eternality, and then they give this really fancy story to make it all work.
And they believe in other gods.
Yeah, they believe in other gods. We already talked about that.
They can't worship them.
Yeah, they can't worship them, but they do believe in them. We already talked about that, though. We don't need to get into that again. So anyways, I just want to look at Christ's deity and Christ's eternality, because ultimately, if Christ is God and Christ is eternal, then the story they have to make their beliefs make sense can't be true. If Jesus was eternal, then none of that works. So the Bible's clear on Christ's deity. One of the clearest verses is John 1:1-3. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." There are also countless verses that refer to Jesus as God, such as Romans 9:5, Philippians 2:6, Titus 2:13, Hebrews 1:8, 1 John 5:20, or John 13:3. As we already saw, we only have one God. There aren't 1,000 gods in space. That's obviously not biblical. So if Jesus is called God, then that simply means that he is God, and Christ on earth as a human was fully God, unlike what Mormonism teaches. Now, also, they deny Christ's eternality. They teach that he was born to Elohim as a spirit baby. I never thought I would say the phrase spirit baby this much in my life, but here we are. The Bible is clear on Christ's eternality. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." I have no idea why that's there. Wow, Riley, I just did what you did. I have no idea what that is, so if you can think of something that fits here, just good. John 1:1-3 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and was not anything, and without him was not anything made that was made." And then Hebrews 3:8, "Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever." These three verses, two, because I don't know what the first one was, clearly teach God. Oh, wait, I remembered. It calls Jesus the Everlasting Father. I remembered. This is why I need to write all. This is why I write everything down, Riley, because then I forget things.
Yeah, I'm studying afterwards. That's why.
Anyways, so Jesus is the Everlasting Father. He was in the beginning with God, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. These three verses are also clear. Jesus was eternal. The Bible is not at all like foggy on this point. Jesus was eternal. The Bible says that clearly. And so if Jesus is God and Jesus is eternal, then both those doctrines that Mormon teach that he isn't are wrong. And the entire story they have about the Council of the Gods and Jesus and Lucifer being brothers and presenting their plans to the Council of the Gods, it can't be true because none of what they say fits with the Bible. That's all I had on what they teach about Jesus. I don't know if you had anything you want to add to that.
Well, we're going to be basically hopping into a similar topic of the Trinity.
Yep, I'm going to scroll up my notes.
Basically, to put it flat and simple, they believe that they are three separate beings with the same mission on earth. The Holy Spirit, Jesus, and God are three different people, but they all have the same plan for the world, which is definitely unbiblical, because there are multiple verses that say that they are one. Yeah. Jesus has always been and always will be. He's referred to as the Word. There's even parts of the Bible where they talk to each other and they speak as one, because I think it's Genesis.
It's the first chapter.
What is the first chapter?
I believe so.
Whereas he says, "Let us make man in our own image," not "Let me make man in our own image." Let us make man in our own image.
That verses Genesis 1:26.
Okay,
so what I had on this is they teach the members of Trinity are all separate gods, like you said. I had a couple verses on this. Wow. 1 Timothy 1:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. There is one God. There is not three. There is not thousands. There's only one God. Deuteronomy 6:4, and hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Further, there's only one God. The God of the Bible is only one God. 1 John 5:7 says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. The Trinity are not separate gods. They're all one God, and there only is one God. There aren't infinite gods, and that, yeah. Their teaching that the members of the Trinity are all separate gods is definitely unbiblical. That's all I had.
Okay. Okay, so now we get to go on to the fun topics.
Yeah.
Wait, so... Yeah, well, the next one's scripture, and then we get to go on to
the
weird topics.
Interesting ones.
But, so basically, in their scripture, don't know why that's under here, but okay. I, for some reason, have Jews Will Reign in America under this, and Second Chance After Death. I do believe that. Don't know what I was referring to with that one, but...
Second Chance After Death is Baptism for the Dead.
Is that what it is? Okay. Yeah. But they believe that the Bible... Do they believe that the Bible is inerrant?
No.
Okay.
That's pretty much all I had.
Yeah, because I'm like, because they believe in the Bible, but it's not inerrancy. Because I'm like, I put Bible inerrancy down, thinking that I know what it meant, but...
I just did that with the first member.
Yeah. But the Bible is scripture. So they believe in the Bible, they just don't believe everything in there is true.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all. I mean, they have, like we said, the Book of Mormon, Doctrine and Covenants, and the Pearl of Great Price. That's their scripture. That's what they believe in. And, yeah, Latter-day Saints, I don't know if they have a slightly different, but... then we move on to eternal progression.
Skip to me.
You said you didn't have anything.
I had a verse.
Okay, say your verse then.
All right. I just had a couple verses, because you pointed out that they don't believe in inerrancy.
Yeah.
They believe the Bible contains errors, contradictions, and discrepancies. The Bible is inerrant. The Bible says it's inerrant. I had three verses for that. That's why I interrupted you. I'm sorry. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Ecclesiastes 3:14 teaches us that God is perfect. Nothing he does can be changed. Meaning, the Bible is perfect because it came from God. Meaning, it's inerrant and cannot have errors because God is inerrant in what he says. Psalm 12:6, the Lord, words of the Lord are pure words as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. The words of the Lord are pure and inerrant. And then Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. God's word is pure and inerrant. Mormonism completely rejects this. And they believe in the Bible, but they put more faith in the Book of Mormon and the teachings of Joseph Smith, which is completely unbiblical. There.
So now we get to talk about the eternal progression, which is basically the belief that they can become God. When they achieve full godhood... they will cap out in knowledge and power and have become equal with God and all divinity, subsequently only progressing in the worlds and progeny under them.
That's the same quote.
They basically have their own worlds or universe or whatever you want to call it, where they can control what happens there, but they can't control the other ones. That's what they believe. But their goal in overall, like how our goal is to get to heaven and serve the Lord and follow Jesus, their goal is to be just like God. Like, literally just like God.
So, I did have a little outline. This is not original to me. It's from it's called CARM, the Christian something research ministry. What is that the word? Christian Apologetics Research Ministry. Sorry. So, they're called CARM. They describe the doctrine of eternal progression in 7 points. Number one, we pre-exist as intelligences. Two, intelligences move into spirit form through the process of procreation where God and his goddess wife, who have bodies of flesh and bones, produce spirit offspring. Three, the spirit offspring are then born in mortal bodies here on earth. Four, after death, we go to either paradise or spirit prison. Five, at the judgment, we are then assigned to one of the three levels of heaven, or we go to outer darkness. Six, godhood is attained by those Mormons who kept celestial law. The rest become angels in the other two levels of heaven. And then finally, 7, the process of eternal progression continues as those who have become gods and goddesses produce spirit offspring. This is very confusing, I'm not going to lie. It took me a little bit to understand it. Basically, they believe that if you're good enough, after you die, you go to spirit paradise if you were good, spirit prison if you were bad. You'll be there until the end of Jesus' reign on earth, at which point the judgment will happen, and everyone from spirit prison and spirit paradise will be assigned to one of the three heavens. If you make it to the third heaven, then you have the ability to become your own god and start your own planet. That is the doctrine of eternal progression. So is it true? Like Riley pointed out earlier, they have a quote, as God is, or as man is, God once was, as man it, wait, what's the quote? Say it again.
As God is, I'll hold up.
As man is, God once was, as
God is, man once will be. Well,
as man is, God once was, as God
as,
is, man
as man is now, God once was, as God is now, man will be. Yeah, it's a tongue twister, but
yeah, that's hard to get straight. Anyways, that's what they believe, that man can become God. So is this true? We already saw that there is only one God, so that can't be true. I have two other verses to show this, though. Isaiah 43:10 says, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me." God said, before him there was no God. After him there will be no God. There's no other God besides God. No more being formed, none before him ever were formed, because he's eternal and he's the only God. And then Isaiah 44:8 teaches, "Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee that from that time, and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there any God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any." God says here, he's the only God. There's no God beside for him. Meaning, there can't constantly be gods popping into existence all across the galaxy, because there is no other gods. Those two verses from Isaiah make it clear that eternal progression is impossible. Mankind cannot become God. That is the same deception that was used in the Garden of Eden when Satan told Eve that she could be like God. This is the same temptation and the same deception that's been used through false religions for centuries, going all the way back to the opening years of Christianity with the rise of the Gnostics, teaching that through Gnosis you can become God. This has always been the belief of pagan religions, and today it's just taken a new form of Mormonism.
Yeah. So,
ooh, the exciting one.
Yeah, polygamy. So, of course, was it Nevada? They have polygamy legal.
Utah.
I'm like, I knew it was one of the two. They have it legal if you have polygamy. Basically, what polygamy is the marriage of multiple wives. Romans 7 is completely, the entire chapter is just flat out no more than one wife. How the roles of it and everything. I also have Deuteronomy 17:17, where it says, "Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away, neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold." Now it's referring to the king or whatever, but the Bible clearly states that we should only have one wife, or women should only have one husband. It should be a one-on-one thing, not multiple wives at all. So polygamy is completely debunked from the Bible.
Yeah, so I had some things on polygamy too. Anyways, like Riley said, Romans 7. If you want to know what the Bible says about polygamy, read Romans 7. Basically it says, if you're married and you marry another person while you're married to that person, you are committing adultery. And according to Mormonism, if you commit adultery, you can't be forgiven. So everyone in Mormonism that is a polygamist technically can't go to heaven. That's different. Anyways, polygamy is wrong according to the Bible, obviously. Obviously, I don't believe that you can't be forgiven for whatever. You know what I mean. I messed that up. Anyways, polygamy is wrong according to the Bible. Romans 7 says that. I also want to point out that in the pastoral epistles, Paul talks about a bishop, a deacon, and a pastor. These are three different positions in the church. In 1 Timothy 3:2, one of the things a bishop has to have is he has to be a husband of one wife. A deacon has to be the husband of one wife, and a pastor has to be a husband of one wife. And if you look in Titus 1:6, it says, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife. What that's saying is you need to be blameless, and a part of being blameless is being the husband of one wife. Meaning, someone who's a polygamist could not be a pastor because that they're not blameless, because they're doing something that is wrong. The Bible is clear on that. And it is a confusing issue, because technically, officially, the Mormon Church says that polygamy is wrong. That's their official stance on it, that you shouldn't be a polygamist. However, their founder and chief prophet, Joseph Smith, said that he was called by God to marry multiple wives. Here's the problem. They believe that when Joseph Smith talked for God, that God was speaking through Joseph Smith. Joseph Smith said that God told him to have multiple wives. According to Mormons' beliefs, that means Joseph Smith was God saying he had to have multiple wives. So, I mean, that's a contradiction to begin with. The Mormonism says you shouldn't do it, but their founder says that God said you should. But the Bible is clear, polygamy is wrong. And any Mormon who teaches that it's right is just, like, going against the Bible.
So I know you probably have a lot for this next topic.
I actually don't.
You don't? All right, you can lead off then.
All right, this is baptism for the dead. This is bizarre. Basically, Mormonism teaches that, you know how I mentioned there's spirit prison and spirit paradise? Those who aren't good Mormons or aren't Mormons at all are going to spirit prison. And the way it works is if you can go to the Mormon church and you have to go to their temple and there's this whole ritualistic, like, weird offering thing you have to do. And what happens is you can be baptized on behalf of a dead person. So basically they believe that you can't get into heaven if you're unbaptized. You can't get into any of the heavens if you're unbaptized, which contradicts what they say. You can't get into the... Yeah, it doesn't make sense. I believe the teachings, you can't get into the third heaven without being baptized, I'm guessing. Anyways, you can go to the Mormon temple, and you can be baptized on behalf of a dead person so that that dead person can go to heaven. That is so unbiblical. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, after this the judgment. Once you die, you're judged. There's no you die, you wait. You can get saved while you're waiting, and then you're judged." The Bible's clear. There's no second chances. It's as hard as that is for some people to understand. Once you die, you die. There's nothing after that. Like, there's no other chance to get saved. You have this life to receive Christ and receive salvation. If you don't, then it's too late. By the time you die and you're being judged, it's too late. No one on earth can be baptized on behalf of you to get you to heaven. It's just not, it's not possible. The Bible's clear.
Yeah. Some actually baptize the dead bodies, which is weird.
That's a weird one. Yeah.
But most places will have live people but get baptized for the dead people, and usually it's the same sex for someone. So, like, if you were baptizing for a woman, you would need a woman to get baptized for that dead woman. Yeah. But he mentioned the Hebrews one. 1 Corinthians 15:29 states, "Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? If the dead rise not at all, why are they baptized for the dead?" There is no point to baptize the dead, because once you are dead, there is no second chance. You are judged. God is judging you. You are either going to heaven or you're going to hell. Nothing after that. Also, Christianity, you don't need to be baptized to go to heaven. The only thing you need is faith in that Jesus died for your sins and rose again, and that he's the only way to God.
Yeah, so I did want to take a little side note. I'm sorry, this was not prepared. I did prepare this for a different part. I forgot it when we were talking about the Bible. Is that, like I mentioned before, the Mormons believe in the Book of Mormon. I want to have a quick side note on that, because like I said, talking about with the Bible, they don't believe it's inerrant. They believe it has problems with it. They also believe that it's not complete, and you have to add the Book of Mormon, Pearl of Great Price, and Doctrines and Covenants in order for it to be complete, because the Bible alone itself isn't sufficient. You have to have the extra stuff. So real quick, I want to go over, I have four, I call them, they're contradictions. Here's the thing. The Bible's from God. Even Mormons teach that. The Book of Mormon, they teach the Book of Mormon is from God through Joseph Smith. All right. If they're both from God, they can't contradict each other, because God is perfect. God cannot contradict himself. We already saw the Bible is inerrant. There's no errors in it, which means if there's a contradiction between the Book of Mormon and the Bible, the Book of Mormon cannot be from God. So I have four I want to look at here. In the Book of Mormon, the book Moroni, sounds a lot like moron, just saying. I'm joking. Moroni 8:8 says that children are incapable of sinning. Ryan, you mentioned this. However, Psalm 51:5 contradicts this statement, saying that even babies have a sin nature. 2 Nephi 5:21 teaches that black-skinned people are morally and spiritually inferior to white-skinned people, while the Bible completely rejects this and contradicts it in Acts 17:26. The Book of Mormon teaches that we are saved by works and grace, while the Bible teaches that we are saved by grace through faith, not of works. And then the Book of Helaman, I don't know how to say that, 14:27 teaches that when Christ was crucified, there was darkness for 3 days, while the Bible in Matthew 27:45 teaches it was only 3 hours. these four contradictions are more than enough to show the Book of Mormon is not cannot be from God because it contradicts the Bible, which we know is from God. That's I just want to have that little side note on the Book of Mormon.
Usually, typically, when another religion adds a second book that they say is from God, usually, most of the time, you will be able to find a contradiction between that book and the Bible. So
yeah, because here's the thing. If they need to add an extra book, that means they don't believe the Bible has enough. And if they don't believe the Bible has, if the Bible doesn't have what they want to teach to the point where they have to add an extra book, obviously what the extra book is isn't in the Bible, or they wouldn't need it.
Yeah. So that's all we have for today. We are going to try to do a second podcast this month. We are probably going to common questions. Story's going to find the questions for us because I'm still getting used to my new job and I'm already barely having any time to study. So I hope you guys learned something for this podcast. If you have any questions about Mormonism, go ahead and drop it down, and we will try our best to answer it. If you have any questions about Christianity or topic ideas for a podcast, let us know, and we will try to get it into the podcast and answer your questions and whatnot. So let's go to prayer. Dear God, I pray that you would be with us as we go throughout our daily lives, that you might use us to do your will, for that you might use this podcast, Lord, to reach out to someone who isn't so sure about what is true and what's not, Lord. Maybe we find a Mormon person or someone and lead them to you, Lord. I pray that you might make us a blessing to someone today. I pray that you would help us to keep searching for you, Lord. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And we'll see you guys later this month.
See you then.